Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we once again have gathered together and have the purpose of fellowship around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and honoring and praising and glorifying you. And Father, we pray that that would take place in our midst and that you would bless us as we follow through on these things. And Father, we thank you for your grace to us, and we thank you for this word that you've given to us to reveal to us who you are and lay out, Father, the pattern for our thinking, for our lives, for our faith, for our rejoicing, for everything that this word leads us to do. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Last time in our study of the attributes of God, we started the goodness of God. That let me go back to remind you of the rich young ruler who comes to Christ in his earthly ministry and says, "What must I do to receive eternal life?" And he says they are good teacher. What must I do? And immediately the Lord Jesus Christ focuses on that word that he used there, good. And he says, none is good. Why do you call me good? He says, none is good but God alone. And that's so important to understand. Jesus Christ is not saying he's not good, but he knows that that individual doesn't view him as God, and therefore doesn't, you know, he's applied this word good to a man, and he's all wrong. And he's very, very much in line with the world view today. You think about the message of the world, the message of Satan is you're good. What was the testimony of the Pharisees? I'm good. I tithe this, I do that, I'm good. No need for, basically, really what they're saying, no need for a savior. I already meet the standard. I'm good. And if you've dealt with people and ask them, are you good? A lot of people say, yeah, I'm a good person. I don't have any problem with if you're going to put us all in a bucket and not use God's standards. There's some people you look at, and a lot of people you look at, he's a good guy. You don't have any problem with that. But when you come down to ultimate good, good that stands up to the standard of the Word of God and of God himself, there's only one. And that means he's the only source of goodness, true goodness that meets his standards. And so, here's the thing, where does that lead us? Let me back off of that. I've been a Christian a long time, started off as a little kid, and there are a lot of things over those decades that I grappled with. You know, I was in the midst of a Bible-centered home. There was some legalism, no doubt about that. You know, it was back in the day, what was that phrase? We don't smoke and we don't chew and we don't go with the girls who do. and then a whole lot of other things that you couldn't really back up with scripture. You know, it was just the way it was, and everybody thought that way. And I mean, not everybody, but the people in the church that I was part of, they're great people. But, you know, even if you grow up in a Christian home, you still got to come. Your parents' Christianity won't save you. I hope you understand. Their gospel will, if it's the true gospel. But you don't get in. You know, you go, well, here's my dad, and so I'm saved because of him. Just like for the Jews, having Abraham as a father, you know, as their forbear doesn't save them. Remember, John the Baptist says God's able to raise up from these stones sons of Abraham. You know, what a great statement that is. I remember in my mind, asking this question, why does all this praise go to God? I don't know if you've ever thought that. Why does he want all this glory? What is that about? And it took a long time to see, number one, it can't go anywhere else and be true. Because wherever else it might go, they don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. It can't go anywhere else. And he's the only one who is righteous and holy and just and sovereign. And he's the only one deserving of and rightfully owning that praise and that glory. In other words, if things are going to be right, that praise has to go to him. And when you get to Revelation and you get to the passages that deal with heaven, where do you see all the glory going? You know, there's not all these branch areas. It's to the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit loves for it to go to the Father and the Son, to the Father through the Son. So this is a look at his goodness. And here's the thing that just really struck me as I was going over this, and it's this, that where you find God's goodness recognized by his people again and again and again, we don't have time to look at them all because there's so many of them, but again and again and again, immediately having recognized that God did this, there is thanksgiving and praise to God. So the way I want to put it is this goodness, as you recognize it, is a reason for praise and is a reason for thanksgiving. It's like a fountainhead for praising God. So that says, if you understand how surrounded you are by the goodness of God, how minute do you think this gets down to? I mean, does God really do nice things for you? Or is it just the general categories? Rain, food, roof over your head. Or does he works all things after the counsel of his own will. And I see, you know, he's omniscient. He knew he was doing this. I was just thinking this morning. Some of you know that for 30 or more years, I fervently pursued falconry, flying falcons. And I still love those birds. I still love watching them fly and so forth. Well, would you believe this? That my living room window looks out on a marsh, and there just happens to be out there in the middle of the marsh this piece of driftwood. It's huge. And it sits out there, and it's kind of rooted down. I've walked out to it a number of times. It's stuck down in the marsh and is not moving around. And a peregrine sits on that. I mean, he was there, he or she, I think it was she this morning. She was there. And I think about, is that just random? Does that just happen? Or is it, am I being a little nutty? Thinking as I walk over there and look through the spotting scope, and here's that beautiful peregrine sitting in the middle of the scope. Am I wrong to say thank you, Lord? And I think about, most of you don't give a rip about a peregrine sitting on, you know, and so you don't have one. But But you certainly have, you know, God dealing with you and working with you and, you know, providing for you. And what are those things, what should be they be triggers for, you know? So go with me to Psalm 18. Psalm 18, and we'll start in verse 48. The Psalm of David, if you looked at the title, the Lord praised for giving deliverance. Okay, the Lord praised for giving deliverance. Well, okay, so I take giving deliverance to be what? God's goodness. He doesn't have to deliver, but he does. And so David says at the end of this chapter, he delivers me, verse 48, he delivers me from my enemies. Surely thou dost lift me above those who rise up against me. He's a king. Thou dost rescue me from the violent man. I'm sure there were people who wanted to assassinate David. Therefore, okay, what's the immediate response? And so I'm saying, God delivering David as his king, that's an act of God's goodness. And David's recognizing it as such. And he's saying, therefore I will give thanks to thee among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to thy name. He gives great deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. And then come down to, well, one we all know by heart, Psalm 139. Psalm 139 and verse 14. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. David here is recognizing God's goodness and how he made him. And the wonder of, do you ever stop and just think about what your body is capable of? And the fact, one of the ones that just I love thinking about is, how do all of us sit here this morning viewing all the colors and all the things, you know, each one of us, we can see each other. It's coming into our brain and it's all the myriad of things that have to take place for that to happen, okay, for that to be true. And it's an ongoing thing. And that's a great example of I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, you know, and that's God's goodness. And so what does David say as a response? I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. Now here's an interesting way to look at this. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Again, another very familiar verse. Where the subject is the rebellion of men, humanity, against the knowledge of God. And therefore, no proper response to the fact that he is Almighty God and the Creator. So Romans 1, verse 20, where Paul says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. In other words, anybody looking around says, what kind of power does it take to do this? You know, to do the stars and the rivers and everything, the gravity and the electricity and the, it just goes on and on and on. What does it take? What kind of brilliance of mind does it take to do that? There's somebody did this. And the only proper conclusion is there is a God. Okay. And the denial of that is such a spitting in God's face. And to say, you know what? There is no God. It just happened. It's insanity, you know. It's worse than insanity. Maybe you can be insane and not be blamed for it, but this is purposeful rebellion against God. But here's the thing. Having said that, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, and I'm going to plug in there, that there was a good God who did all these good and wonderful acts of creation. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. What was the proper response? What's the proper response if all of a sudden you realize there's a God and he did all this? Well, common sense says, if there's a God, he has to know what I'm thinking. He did all this. And so I fall down before him and I say, thank you. Thank you. You didn't have to create me and you did. You know, I'm here. That's a thing that boggles my mind about God's goodness is certainly there could have been way more people created than have been. And how did I get here? Do you ever stop and think about that? Here I am. And that means that this God who works all things after the counsel of his own will purposed to bring me, created me, made me. This is not God standing back and saying, well, his mom and his dad will be married and they'll get together and we'll see what happens. You know, this is God's doing. I just found the other day this pamphlet that my mom and dad handed out when they were told that she was barren, could never have children. And my dad, you know, I think you stepped over the line, Dad, but God was so gracious because he said, God, I want children. And he found this, you know, my mom was having surgery and she was supposed to lose the babies. They turned out babies. I'm a twin. And every time that the doctors would say to my dad, we're going to lose these kids. He said, no, we're not. We're not losing them. He said, I have a promise from God. Well, the promises in the Old Testament has nothing to do with, has nothing to do with, you know. But then it says, none will lack his mate. And that was the verse his eyes fell on when he asked God for assurance in his Bible study time. And later on, he said, so he, this boggles my mind. He prints up this thing. And it says, we're going to have twins. My mom gets pregnant. She's not supposed to be able to be pregnant, but she gets pregnant. And because it says none will lack his mate, my dad said, it even told us one was going to be a boy and one was going to be a girl, because that's mates. But he held firmly to this through multiple surgeries that my mom had, hemorrhaging, oh, horrible stuff. And set my sister aside. She was born first. Set her aside. Said she's dead. Then got me out. And cesarean. Got me out. And then they see my sister's not dead. So they start working on her. And twin sister that went to be with the Lord years back from cancer. But God's goodness. You think my dad didn't think that was God's goodness? And didn't God act individually there? I mean, I can't see how you could ever deny that God was acting individually on behalf of my parents And even though it doesn't line up with how you use scripture, you know, just going here. This is, let's see, what's going to happen today? Oh, and you go in and you punch it and it's out of context. It's out of, you know, I just don't agree with that. And my dad were here, I'd say, Dad, what were you thinking? And he'd say, you're here, aren't you? Shut up and look in the mirror. Okay, so I'd like to go to, and this kind of, I didn't realize this, but let's go to Psalm 103. And again, it just takes me back to my my childhood. Because we used to have a morning devotion around the table, breakfast. And so one day my dad came, we were just little kids. My dad came down and he says, you and Lee are going to memorize the 103rd Psalm. Okay? So this is the first thing that I ever remember having anything to do with memorizing. But notice, it's Psalm 103, and we're going to look at this. It's a Psalm of David, and it says this. Bless the Lord, which is another word for praise. Okay, give him his rightful place, honor him, bless him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now, you know, think of this passionate David saying, and all that is within me. I don't know always how to say these things, but to me this is David saying, Lord, I want to be absolutely all in on this. I don't want this to be some side thing, well, thank you, and go on. So I want everything in my being to be about who you are and thank you. I want to bless you. Okay. Then he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Repeats it. It must be important. And, you know, let me just stop there and ask you this question. And I ask myself this question. Don't always like the answer. How you doing with this? You know what I mean? Do you praise God? Personally? How often? Are you all in? You know, I think about how easily I take for granted the goodness of God as he pours out blessings on me. And I'm just... And sometimes I think, Whittles, you think you deserve those? You know, are you proud? And that this is just how you should be treated? And are you thanking God, who's the source of these things, down to the most minute in everything gift? Thanks. Okay. All right. So back to verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now here's a phrase that I just love. And forget none of his benefits. How many are there? Pooh. You have any benefits last week? How is he dealing with you? You know? And here's the Holy Spirit through David saying, don't forget any of these. And so that tells me I need to be checking this out. I need to be aware of, I need to be looking and recognizing and saying, Linton, that's a benefit from the Lord. That's a blessing from God. Okay? And forget none of his benefits. And it's just staggering how many there are. Your family, your friends, your husband, your wife, your job, your health, your down to the little, you know, the peregrine sitting out on the perch in the marsh, the just those things, You know, that... And the first one he mentions, who pardons all your iniquities. So here we have the results of the gospel, you know, and as we look at this from the New Testament standpoint, that through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who took my place on the cross and died for me under the penalty of my sin, and God accepted that payment and raised him from the dead. And God simply says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to him. Recognize your sin. Turn away and turn to him in fullness, trusting him for the rest of your life that he really did this, that he really took your place on the cross, and he's the Savior, and therefore he's trustworthy. And so I can put all my trust in him, and because he's God, he knows I'm trusting him. And God the Father knows. And God the Holy Spirit led me to do it in the first place. And God the Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin in the first place. And okay. Who pardons all your iniquities? Here's the next one. Who heals all your diseases? How many times you've been sick in your life? And you realize if you didn't get better, you would die. You know, it might start off, I think about how down among the Yanomami, a cold takes many of them out. They die. A simple, you know, I got a cold. It kills them, you know. Well, if you're not healed, and then you think, you know, I was astounded reading about cancer, and it talked about how everybody has these little things that are like that are cancer that are in your body, and your immune system overtakes them, and you don't have the full blown stuff like I do, you know, with the cancer, you know. Well, how often have you been healed of that? You don't have a clue. Neither do I. You know, and I had cancers way before this. Back when I was like 39 when it started. I had cancer, another return of the cancer, and now. Melanoma, not really that healthy a person. and yet, coming along, you know, you look at, well, God healed me then. He healed me, you know. Who heals all your diseases? And here's another one I love. Who redeems your life from the pit? The pit in Scripture often refers to death. You know, that you're going down into the pit, going down into Sheol or whatever. How many times known by you, how many times not known by you, was your life redeemed, bought back out of, you know, saved from the pit? And some, you know, if you're like me, have done a lot of stupid things, and it's happened a lot, you know. And you don't even know. Sometimes you do know. I mean, you know, there's times when something is just so close, you know, an elk going across the road, and you almost hit it, or, you know, and things where you think there's no way I can escape this car accident, and motorcycle, you know, and come out of it, you know. And a great passage to look at in reference to that is Psalm 68, verse 20. We'll be right back to 103, but then just go to 68:20. God's goodness here. God is to us a God of deliverances. Isn't that great? Doesn't even say what kind of deliverances, but there's all kinds of deliverances that take place, you know. And we count on God to do that. We pray for him to do that. You know, we're coming up on the crabbing season. We got people that are going to be going across the bar, and it scares us, you know. And it's a scary place. But to the Lord, you know, who do we go to? You know, you hope the Coast Guard will be there, but But who really are you going to? That's the thing that puts us to prayer, you know. And then I love the way that it's stated at the end of the verse. And to God the Lord belong escapes from death. Do you get that? To God belong, this is his area of operation, escapes from death. Not to you. A lot of times we think it is us. But to God belongs, escapes. To God the Lord belong, escapes from death. What a great passage. Okay, back to 103. Here's one I love. Who crowns you with loving kindness. Can you picture that? You know, our word today would be grace. God crowning you, pouring out on your head grace. There's a picture that I just like to apply to this. Go to Psalm 133. David uses it in a different way here. So go to Psalm 133. And David uses it as a picture of unity. I think one of the great, great blessings that God's given us here as a body of believers at Blaine is unity. And so this verse says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." Now he uses this picture, and I'm going to use it for the grace coming down over our, you're crowned with grace. Okay, I know I'm out of line, but I'm going to use it a little bit differently. He says this, it's like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard. So what's it doing? It's running down. It's been poured on top of his head. And it's running down his face and down into his beard. And it's God's calling it precious oil. Okay. And then coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edges of his robe. So it's dripping off of all of that and down onto his robe and off the edges of his robe. Okay. Now, let's go to Exodus 30. In Exodus 30, verse 22, we have this. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses. So here we're going to find out what this stuff is that's coming down on Aaron's head. Verse 23, take also for yourself the finest of spices, of flowing myrrh, 500 shekels, and of fragrant cinnamon, half as much, 250, and of fragrant cane, 250, and of cassia, 500, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive oil, a hin. And you shall make of these a holy anointing oil, a perfume mixture, the work of a perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. And with it you shall, now notice this, and with it you shall anoint the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, and the ark of the testimony, the ark of the covenant, and the table and all its utensils, the table of bread, show bread, and all its utensils, and the lampstand and its utensils, and the altar of incense. And the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and this is being put on all of these, and the laver, where the priests wash their hands and their feet, and is standing, and you shall consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them shall be holy. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister as priests to me. And you shall speak to the sons of Israel. This shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall be poured. It shall not be poured on anyone's body, nor shall you make any like it. I love that. In the same proportions, it is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever shall mix any like it, or whoever puts any of it on a layman, shall be cut off. Capital punishment for what? Making it? I mean, the recipe's right here. For making it, or having it and putting it on somebody. Okay? Can't do it. And I love that as a picture. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think there was ever anything made that is more pleasing to the sense of smell? This aroma that comes from this oil. I don't believe you've ever had anything in your nose that is anything as good as this. Okay. God designed this. You understand that. This is not just, let's try this. Okay. And so I love that as a picture of God's loving kindness coming down on my head. It's perfect for me. It was made for me. And it comes down, and it comes down, dripping down if I had a beard. It just covers me. Back to Psalm 103. Who crowns you with loving kindness? Think of this stuff. It's your blessing. And compassion. Do you think of that? Do you think that God's love for you is so real, so genuine, so personal, that he's compassionate toward you? That's just stunning. Not just generally, well, that's these believers I think highly of. It's you. Okay? Then, just these things are so shocking and wonderful. Who satisfies your years with good things? How could you ever be thankful enough for your good things? Every one of us here, you know, just been showered with good things. I mean, we live in this country, and we have, you know, you want to look at material things, we have so many material things. You want to look at friends, you want to look at families, you want to look at, oh my. We've just been covered with these things, you know. And I think the second part here, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. You get renewed. Here's the great thing. Even as you get old, and all kinds of stuff, you know, you say, whoa, what's happening here? You know, this is failing. I can't do this anymore. Yikes. In the Lord, you're still young in your head. And you know what I mean by that? I mean, you know you're old. But you recognize that I've got everything going for me. This is only going to get better. Yeah, physically it's going to get worse, but I'm that close to heaven. You know, I'm that close to going. I was talking with somebody yesterday, said, I really want out. You know, I want to have a hard life and made a lot of bad choices and suffering the consequences and just want to go and be with the Lord, you know. So your youth is renewed like the eagle. We're going to have to stop there. Father, how we thank you for your grace your loving kindness, your compassion, the good things that you have, oh Lord, just all these areas of your goodness that have impacted our own individual lives and will continue to do so because we are the targets of your love and your grace and your mercy. Oh Lord, how could we ever even begin to encompass all these blessings that you have given us? But Father, as they become apparent to us throughout the week and throughout our days, oh Lord, may we have a proper response and not act arrogant and somehow I had this coming or this is the result of my hard work or whatever, that we would recognize your goodness poured out on us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.